The best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench
on Cork's
Red FM.
Hello and good evening. You're listening to The Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. And lots of ga on the show today. As a matter of fact, the show is full of ga. It is all ga. But luckily, we are a county for the ga. And Kerry, they have won the All-Ireland semi-final against Dublin. Kerry 2 goals, 18 points. Dublin 20 points. And me personally, I am very happy about that. I know we have a bit of a rivalry with Kerry when it comes to football. But me personally now, I've been going down to Kerry since I was naught. And I have a soft spot. I do have a Kerry jersey, if you can believe it. But however, the Rebel County is always my county. If they did play each other, I would go for Cork. And now, so Kerry, they will face Mayo on the 26th of July at 3:30 p.m. in the All-Ireland final in Croke Park. Now, a bit about the World Cup matches as of lately. Not happy about this one. England and Norway 2-1. I actually couldn't believe it when I was watching it, to be honest. Norway were actually all over them. I know there's a rivalry here with England when it comes to sports, but like, they actually really didn't play well, to be honest. Honestly, Norway, they just actually fully deserved it. Even if they got penalties, even if they got there, not. But it was such a shock as well in extra time when they took Haaland off. It's believed it was because he was fatigued. And you know, like, fair enough, but still, he's the man you need for a last minute winner. And like, by God, like, Norway needed a last minute winner, but they had so much opportunities in like normal time where they just could not score. I don't know what it was, to be honest. And then in terms of Argentina versus Switzerland, Switzerland did so good, to be fair to them, to remain in the game and get it to extra time. But unfortunately for them, Argentina are just, they're just too good. And they got 2 goals in extra time thanks to Alvarez and Martinez. So now the semi-finals are locked in. We will see France versus Spain on Tuesday and England versus Argentina on Wednesday. Both games are kicking off at 8 p.m. So now we are going to hear a bit about Cork Camogie. So we have our very own Ger McCarthy speaking to the Cork manager, Ger Manley.
Dermandy, thanks for joining us here on the Big Red Bench. Cork are in an All-Ireland Camogie senior semi-final, taking on Tip in Thurles. We'll talk about it very shortly. The year you've had since the start of the year, National League and everything that's come through the championship, have you ever known a busier, or I won't say more difficult, but more, because of the transition, because of all the players, has this been one of the most demanding years you've been in charge?
I suppose, look, the girls are very committed that we have, and there's been a lot of changes, but look, we changed this too a couple of years ago where I suppose Waterford beat us in the quarter final the year in 23, and we've improved dramatically after it. But I suppose this year it has been a strange year with injuries, girls travelling, girls stepping away, girls retiring, so it hasn't been easy. But look, we still have the majority of the team that played last year, and it's just a matter of getting them, blending them back in. We gave some girls longer breaks, brought in girls for the under-23s, and I suppose that really did stand us in giving them games in the league. It stood to them in the under-23 championship where they had a bit more experience than other teams. And look, it's been tough, not saying it hasn't been. We don't want it in Cork, because, you know, if you lose a match, it's nearly a, you know, take a dip in the family. But I know our focus was the championship. We said that, and we said that to the girls, and I suppose there's times it's frustrating for us, frustrating for them, that we didn't perform as well, because we like to go to win every match, like every Cork team does. But it's been tough so far.
You saw, on the bad days in the National League when the results didn't go your way, you still saw green shoots. There was still enough that you saw from certain players that helped them when it came to the championship.
Oh, totally. Ashley Egan's a prime example. Like, she was excellent for us against Galway and against Tip. Do you know what I mean? We just have to be giving girls games. I suppose it's the one problem we had with the Camogie team, and I don't see it as a problem. It's just a good problem the last couple of years with such a consistent team that it's very hard outside the top 19 or 20 to break in. Not chase this year. you know, we'd no chase. And I think it brought us all on, his management, his selectors, his coaches. Telez has done a very good job. It looks just frustrating at times, like you're trying to get things done. And but it takes girls a bit of time to step up to some, like, I'll give an example. They have a Fitzgerald and Condon. If they've been there the last 2 or 3 years, they've been phenomenal for us this year. Whether league, championship, challenge, whatever, they just stepped up to the mark. And look, that's where we're getting. We're trying to get players stepping up to the mark. And it was frustrating, I suppose, earlier on. But look, we had a very good championship three results that we won, but struggled with the Munster championship. But look, our aim was to get to the semi-final. We all knew we'd be in a quarter-final. But the aim was, after, you know, to start this championship, to get to the semi-final, we're there now.
Even though you knew you were going to be in a quarter final because of the way the championship draw was made, did it actually help in the end?
I think it did for us, because we got a break after the Munster Championship, and I think you're playing three top class teams. There's very little between Galway, Tipperary, Waterford, and Waterford have been beaten now, but Kilkenny as well, and there's nothing between the top teams, and there never has been really, and I think you need a small bit of a break. We got a bit of luck year before last. Galway got there a bit of luck last year, and look, Tip and Waterford are very close to us. Kilkenny are close to it. So look, for us, it was getting proper matches. And I thought the Galway game, we were excellent. Tip game, we were very good. Probably our level against Waterford won't do the next day. So it put us, our feet back firmly on the ground.
You know where you are. You know you're where you want to be, and you'll have a good idea of probably the team that you want to select coming into it. The opposition as well. We don't have to talk about it. We've talked about them over the years here. I'm not going to cover all ground. But they are in the same position. They're where they want to be in an All-Ireland semi-final. And there's nothing new on either side. You know each other so well. So how do you approach this? Are you looking to do something new, or are you looking to do something... Or is it more?
No, we're more the same, really. Look, I think Tipperary are different challenges. They've been probably the dark horses every year. You know, they have the hurlers, they have some super players. They've improved, I thought, again, immensely this year. And they won the league last year. They won the Munster this year. Like, we know the challenge. It's their own ground, huge advantage. Do you know what I mean? And I suppose, look, for us, we just have to perform to the standards that we have done in the recent years. And that's the test for us. It's a huge test. I know today we really went Cork in a Camogie final, and I get this impression, like, thoroughness and everything else. There's lots of things, and I'm being very honest about it. Like, I mean, I suppose the Camogie Association are trying to change the nature of the last couple of years, where Cork, Galway have dominated, and Kilkenny, look, Water, giving them credit, and Tip are the same. They're trying hard, but we want to be in the final. And look, I suppose Tip have some exceptionally good hurlers. They gave us the right hammering in the Munster Championship. I thought we did quite well in the league championship against them. The league game previously, they came back well. They dominated us in the second round. So we know what to expect. Like, I mean, they're a very good mobile team, very good holders. But look, we have to do our best to beat them.
And just finally, just on that, obviously you want to win the game, but what are you looking for? You need the performance, you need some sort of a good bit of momentum going into an All-Ireland final.
We need to score more than them. Yeah, I tell you now, Joe. And it was our Achilles heel there all the year in the league and that. But I think since the championship came along, we've really hit our targets. And I think that's the key. And if we hit our scoring targets, they'll only be one winner.
Best of luck. Thanks very much.
Song, Joe.
Now, to continue with the Camogie glory, we have our very own Joe McCarthy once again speaking to both Maeve Cahalan and Laura Hayes.
Maeve, first of all, fantastic to be at this position for the Cork senior Camogie team. It's been a year of transition, difficult league campaign, but you are where you want to be.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose it's where we set out to be at the start of the year. Just as you said there, we probably had a difficult league campaign, and then probably that was a bit of a hangover into Munster. But I think we kind of, you know, had a couple of weeks there to get together and to, you know, really, I suppose, work on what we thought we didn't do well throughout that league campaign. And then thankfully, you know, came through the championship and went the directory to semi-final. Just looking forward to getting out now and playing a game.
And is this when all the experience that you've gained and Laura gained and all the players that have been through this before, it really counts in situations like this when there's new players on the panel?
Yeah, I think so. And look, I think even in fairness to the younger players this year, the learnings that they've taken out of the league campaign has been huge, along with ourselves who've been here for the last few years. So look, they've really brought the energy to it, and they're the standard bearers now, you know, at sessions. So in fairness to them, they've really taken learnings out of the league campaign.
They're also pushing for places, Laura, which pushes you to improve as well. Has that been the thing that you've seen, certainly in the A and B games?
Yeah, 100%. I think that probably the way that the league went for us, and that a lot of players, you know, got a lot of opportunities, it's probably something we've discussed in the dressing room. It's probably been the first year where so many young players did get so many opportunities. And I think we're probably paying, getting the reward for that now, because they're really well able on the pitch. They're putting off their hands and they're pushing us every night. And you want 25, 30 players like pushing to be on that starting 15. And that's what we have at the moment.
And that's something I said to Germany. People forget the success that this group of players have had. Like, as soon as there's a defeat, it's a crisis. Oh my God, what are we going to do? You've had to keep your feet on the ground and keep things in-house as well. But I'm certainly seeing in the last couple of games, you're building that momentum, that kind of momentum that you've had in previous years. Doesn't guarantee anything, but you seem to be coming back to your best.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I suppose, you know, people from the outside might have looked at it as if we weren't doing as well as we would have expected. And we obviously felt the exact same ourselves. But I think we kind of did believe that hopefully it would come right for us. And I do think that the way we did struggle in the league and stuff, that probably has stood to us now, because our feet are definitely firmly on the ground. And we know that every game is going to be an absolute challenge. But I think it's something we're kind of relishing now in this new role of this different team.
Speaking of challenge, playing at Semple Stadium is not something new to you. You've played there before, but you're playing Tip on their home patch in Lough Erne semi-final. They're obviously going to want to put in a performance to get to a final anyway, but the fact that it's in Thurlaismith, it ups the ante even more.
Yeah, it does. And I suppose, look, it's a great stadium. You know, we've had great memories there, but at the same time, it is home advantage for Tip, and a bit of buzz will probably come with that for them. You know, just going off there, I suppose, we're just really looking forward to the challenge, and it probably is that bit of an extra challenge that we're playing them in Thurles. So yeah, just look forward to it.
You gained that confidence again from the recent victories and the performances and the general improvement in the performances. Looking back on it now, going through what you did in the National League for the people that were blooded in the National League, that's all helped.
Yeah, it definitely has. As Laura said there, we've taken the learnings out of the league. It definitely was a hard couple of months, you know, but we've really trained hard since then. And I just think, you know, trying to stay as positive as we can, work on, you know, what suits us and the style of play that suits us. And I just think the group there, they just can't wait to get out on the field and play the game the next day. We know it's going to be such a tough encounter, but, you know, what semi-final won't be. So we're just really looking forward to it.
And that's it. Semi-finals are to be won. Laura, as you well know, down through the years, some of the toughest games and years that you've won All-Irelands have been at this stage, but you have the experience of it, and I can see and I can hear you already.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think it's all well and good to be winning our championship games, but we know ourselves that at the end of the day, it's knockout where you want to be, and that's where you want to win. So look, we're not getting ahead of ourselves at all. And as you said, we're playing Tip in Thurles, and that's definitely going to be a challenge, but it's something we're definitely relishing. And yeah, look, all you want to be doing is playing games, and with a 4-week layoff, we'll be absolutely ready to go come match day.
Yeah, the preparations have gone really well. You're down in West Cork now, just in the final build-up to it. But even from talking to Ger as well, the matches, the intensity, it's ratcheted up at this time of the year. Again, you're used to it, but it needs to ratchet up.
Yeah, 100%. I think we're all aware that it's a privilege to be still training. There's a lot of teams that aren't. And, you know, we're in that position, great weather out here. Like, where else would you want to be? And I suppose that brings a good buzz in itself. And, you know, knowing you're getting up for a big game, definitely, sure, like, how could you not be excited?
The dressing room dynamic with all these young players that have come onto the panel, Maeve, and I'm not going to be ageist, know you're both looking at me, but the older are the players who've been there a bit longer, is the buzz still there, like the likes of Saoirse McCartan, you know, DJing and all these kind of things? The buzz, I can still see that it's still there, and you need that if you want to be successful.
Yeah, I think she's inside there playing football now. So, no, that dynamic, you know, obviously that's grown over the year, and we've got to know each other, both on and off the field, that bit more. And I think even the under-23 campaign there with the girls, it really brought them together. They're a really like close, tight-knit group now. And look, we've soldiered for so many years together that we're very close. So I definitely think, you know, there is that bit of camaraderie on and off the field now. We've had the couple of weeks together. And look, the build-up is good.
So the music isn't going to be affected by the newcomers. Is that what you're telling me? Saoirse is still in charge, yeah?
She's definitely still the DJ, yeah.
You don't get a look in at all, or do you know preference what you want to have played?
No, we definitely do get a preference, all right. But like, it's a working in progress kind of thing. But yeah, we'd like to dictate the music, right, through Saoirse. The younger ones get one or two, but at the same time, we'd like to think we're not that much older than them either, and we should be all into the same music.
Of course, yeah. I wasn't suggesting that. And look, just finally, Tipperary, Laura, been there. We've talked about this rivalry between the two of you down through the year so many times. It goes without saying, though, that you've got to put in a performance first in the semi-final before worrying about the opposition. But you know the challenge that's coming with this team.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's our fourth time playing Tipperary this year, third time in Thurles. So look, I think more than any other year, we definitely know each other very well. We know that they were down a few the last day, but so were we. So look, I suppose as much as obviously we have to do our research and do our work on tip, we'll be really looking for a performance of our own. And I think that that's when we play best, is when we go out and play to ourselves. So look, please God that we put in that performance so we can come back with a victory.
Yeah, final word, babe. That's basically it. Semi-finals are there to be won. You know the challenge that's coming. You've been there, you've played them already enough times this year, but this is up another level again now.
Yeah, definitely. We know it's going to be a huge challenge. Tipperary are a great side, and they've really come on even this year. So we know what's ahead of us. But as Laura said, we need to focus on ourselves, focus on, you know, what we can bring to the game, and anything but, you know, a performance won't do up there. So we know that. So we're just really looking forward to it, looking forward to the preparation for the next few weeks. And look, hopefully when we go up there, we'll be buzzing to go.
So moving on now to the Tailteen Cup, where Wicklow beat County Down. I'm actually delighted for Wicklow. It's not often they see silverware, so this is very good. Very good for the Ga. Wicklow goal scorer Dean Healy is speaking to Tommy Rooney after his side's comeback win over Down in the Tailteen Cup final.
Dean, I'm keeping you from the dressing room for just a minute, man. Yeah, no. That was just incredible.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. It's very hard to put into words unless they're generic words. Like, you know, it's something that... you talk about dreams, you know. I'll be blatantly honest with you. I never thought that I'd get to walk up the steps of the Hogan to lift a title with Wicklow. Obviously, the ambition was, you know, to get promoted. So you can go about that aspect. But I think when you see today and see the support that turned out, you know, there's people in Wicklow that genuinely have a love for the sport, and hopefully this does massive things.
It's ridiculous because you're 12 down at the break and things seem to be going wrong with you up top, maybe at the back. You were getting turnovers and you were getting some of your kickouts off, but some things weren't clicking. How did you turn that around?
Sorry, it's mad because like, there was no panic at halftime. There was no big, like, speeches or shouting or anything along the lines of that. It was just, get back to basics here, lads. This isn't a fair reflection of us as a panel, you know. We thrive in adversity, and the fact that, like, the last couple of weeks, you know, I was a little bit worried because we're a team that generally likes playing matches. So when we're playing week on week, you know, the performance will stay there. But all of a sudden, when you have a 3-week break, and, like, to be fair, the support around the county has been absolutely phenomenal. And I'm generally one that stays away from social media, but, you know, I actually immersed myself in it because I wanted that pressure in terms of knowing that if we did get it back, when we got back the tree, I knew we'd come out the right side of it, you know. And I just with the hope of everyone in Wicklow and the support, we knew that, listen, you lose today, you might keep someone, but if you win today, like, hopefully this is a platform for, you know, the next number of years and something for all our development squads to actually aspire to. Like, as I said to you, it's something I generally stay away from social media, but I just thought, no, I want to live in this moment. I want the expectation, and I want a bit of pressure to actually, like, knowing that if we do get these boys into a dogfight last 10 minutes, there's only one team that comes out the right side of it.
I love to hear that. Yeah. And I saw the open training session he had, and he had a sensory session on for kids beforehand, and opened it up to the public, and they got behind you.
It was one of them ones where we had the best week of weather in Wicklow, and the day of the meet and greet, it was actually, like, it was the worst day that we had in all month. And for the fans, like, still to turn out, I notice it even generally after matches, with the amount of people that, you know, are coming on the pitches, and, like, the majority of them are all, you know, past players at this stage, and, like, everyone's, all anyone wants in life is a bit of hope, you know. And I think the GAA as an organisation is one of the best things for that, because, geez, there's not a club team in Ireland that doesn't go back at the start of the year think they can win a championship. Like, there's always hope there, and it's just about when you get the opportunity in order to actually fulfil that or get yourself across the line. It's about being man enough to look at a square on and, you know, taking on that opportunity.
We were live on USAC at the time before you got the goal, and you had just scored a point from that area a couple of minutes beforehand, and you looked like you were going to pull the trigger again. What went through your eyes or your head to just take those boys on and go for the juggler? Because you'd have missed. Ronan Burns had been brilliant in goals. You missed a load of chances. Why did you go for the juggler?
It was just one of them ones. Like, in fairness, like, if you look at the first half, anytime we stepped inside, we were made with bodies, and fortunately, this time time when I sat inside, I just saw a channel and I just thought, listen, you're only here once, you know. And I saw the corner, I closed the eyes and I just let fly at it, like, so, you know what I mean. It looks like a composed finish, but listen, as I said, it just opened up and I saw the channel and I went at it.
The little lassie is behind you here, she was in your arms and you raised the trophy. What a moment as a family, but like all the kids in Wicklow with jerseys on and being on the hill, or even Oisín McConville's kids, you're after letting them into the dressing room there before we started this. It's class.
It's unbelievably class. And like, even, you know, even the sport in Wicklow Town has been absolutely tremendous. And like the last week and a half or 2 weeks, anytime I'm walking through the main street, you know, even Fia has been like, you know, why do these people keep on talking to you, Daddy? You know, like, she knows that I play football and, you know, like the supporters and stuff. But, you know, as I said to you, you just want to give these kids, you know, some hope, and let them know that, you know, like you touched on, even the hill, like, that's massive. Like, there's people that sit in Wicklow and look at, you know, games like that, what's going on right now, and see supporters in the hill and think, oh, I'll never get to experience that. So when we actually came out and saw a big contingent of blue jerseys, and I hope the lads were swapping cans all day, you know, like, it all adds into, like, they're all ones that, like, I don't remember outside of Down when Wicklow bet them Tony Hannon's last free in Aucoin back in the qualifiers a number of years ago. I don't remember as a youngish lad experience anything like that, you know what I mean? And like them lads that on the hill and throughout the stadium today, like, they'll never forget this day, just like the players as well. So like, it's massive, it's absolutely massive.
I'm going to ask you for a favour. Will you pick up Fia and when you walk to the dressing room? I'm not going to go in with you,
yeah.
But I just want to hear the noise when you walk in. Dean Healy, congratulations, Fia. Congrats. What an incredible moment for Wicklow. Up Wicklow.
Up Wicklow, you'll say it.
Up Wicklow.
Oh, good job. Walk in. Yeah, I'm not going to follow you all the way in. I just want to hear the noise.
Thank you.
Hold on, Dean.
The end of that interview was so cute. Bless no, the celebrations. They deserve it. They deserve it all. So you're listening to The Big Red Bench, myself, Orla O'Leary. And now we have Barry Rowe, who claimed the 2026 Cork's Red FM Division 7 County Hurling League title thanks to a 2-point victory over Ballinora in Noosestown on Saturday night. The Big Red Bench's Ger McCarty spoke to winning manager Kevin McCarty and captain Jerome O'Brien.
Congratulations, a trophy for Barry Rowe Hurling. Hard to believe it's been 19 years. What kind of a boost is this going to give this squad?
It's been a long wait. But you know, we've had a tough few years there, last year's fighting relegation, all that. But you know, we got an injection of youth there this year, and it's helped us a lot. Hopefully, you know, getting the silverware will just give us a bounce going into championship.
Yeah, we were saying on the sideline, if this is Division 7 league standard, then the rest of the leagues must be pretty good, because you put yourselves in Ballinora, played a really high standard tonight.
Yeah, it was a great game, yeah, and that's a credit to the ref as well. He left it flow and he left a good game go. But you know, the league has been tough, and after about three games, we were looking at down the bottom of the league. Like, so it's nice that we put the shoulder to the wheel there for the second half of the league. Got a few wins, got a boost, and you know, you can't beat winning.
Yeah.
And it's helping us, you know, we've a league final next week now in the football.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a nice bounce in the club there this year. But like, you know, it's all down to the hard work the lads have put in all year, and as I said, winning, you can't beat winning, like, you know.
And that's the best possible preparation for a championship, which is never easy. But off the bench, you got 1-6 today now. A lot of youth, a lot of pace, and it came on at the right time. Again, that's the depth of your panel.
Yeah, and you know, it's something we set out from the start of the year there. Kevin and Jason, they came in there in January's first year in, and they said they're not counting on anyone's history in the jersey or anything. They'll give everyone a chance of earning that jersey, and everyone got game time during the league. I think we used 34 players during the league, so we've built good depth there now, and anyone on that bench could have come on there today and done the job for us. And like, there's a few lads playing with Carberry last night, a few young lads have under 21 Monday night, so we're managing their minutes as well, so we have to manage those young fellas. So they're the future of the club, like.
And that's the thing, you're being sensible about it, but there's a lovely buzz around the club, lovely buzz around now with all the supporters in the field, the youngsters getting in on the team photo. Those are important things for them, because they're something they look back on, and that gives them the boost later on.
Yeah, of course. And like, I'm playing with this team for 16 years, and you know, it's been a long time coming, waiting for this, and it's nice to see all the children coming in there after. They've never seen us Barrow hurling team win anything. They've always seen us fighting relegation, so it's nice for them to see, and they'll remember that as well. Like, and it'll only drive on their standards and train that they want to get up here with us.
Congratulations. Hard to believe that it's a first trophy for Barrow Hurling in 19 years, but she certainly deserved it.
Yeah, it's a long time coming. They've worked extremely hard. We're young, and I suppose sick of losing, you know. It's just think kind of at the moment are coming together at the moment, and you know, it's early still, but championship is a few weeks away, so no, it's a good bit of momentum going into it, hopefully, you know.
And a really tight game that you had to fight to win as well.
Yeah, to fight, it's very warm, you know, it's the first time they had to deal with this heat, I suppose, you know, and but other than that, they came good in the end, which was pleasing. No,
1-6 off the bench as well, so the subs, the manager takes the credit for all that, does he?
Well, there's two lads played with Calvary football last night. They won a 3-1 championship Monday night, so we tried to balance it as best we could just to suit everyone, you know. So.
Yeah. But it worked, because the effect of having the man coming on fresh as they were. Like,
Yeah, correct.
How important was Ryan's goal?
Oh, very important, yeah. Goals can swing the very tight games like that. A goal can swing all of them, you know.
It's a good battle of Ballinora through, in the county league already this year, so you would have known what you're up against. And you said there that you played him in a few challenges. But the level of performance from everybody tonight down the stretch when you needed to win it, that must please you most going into championship.
Definitely. I thought they finished strongly, you know, which maybe last year we didn't. We were okay for 15 minutes in championship match, and then we kind of let. So we thought we finished well today, you know, and they've trained hard, so it should come out, you know.
How much of a boost is this going into championship? Winning a trophy aside, just the consistency that you're looking for?
I suppose consistency is definitely worth a lot, you know. You'll see an extra pep in their step in the training, you know. There's a bit of confidence to things, so they should be feeling better going into it, yeah.
And from your own point of view as well, like a big panel as well, you've mentioned a lot of the younger players that have made an impact so far this year.
Yeah, a lot of, I suppose we are young, there isn't too many over 28, I'd say, or maybe one or two, you know. We have a lot of young lads, which is a huge boost to anything, you know. Young people freshen everything up and pushes on the older lads or whatever, you know. So.
And just the occasion tonight, and all the fans though, and the younger fans seeing you win a trophy, big boost for Barrow, because it's going to be a tough championship campaign.
It will be a very tough championship, yeah. You know, there isn't a puck of a ball between a lot of the clubs there, you know, so. And it's great to, for the youngsters, right, some of the lads playing today were probably kneeling down in front of us 20 years ago, you know, so it all breeds on like that, you know.
And just finally for me, it's, as we said, a trophy for Barrow, something that you can celebrate now, and then coming straight to the championship, you're in good shape.
Yeah, we think we are, yeah. So they have football now, and football final next week, and championship the week after, so what did I say, rising boat lifts all tides. So yeah, things are going well now at the moment, anyway.
And sorry, Kevin, maybe I was asked about this already, but like the fact that so many of the young lads have experience of playing at a high level in the underage grades with Ibane, like last year, wasn't it a Premier 2 hurling minor semi-final, and obviously the under 21, like it's great experience for them to be bringing in, like, you know, that, you know, that they're not afraid of winning, like.
Correct,
if that makes sense, like.
Yeah, that's correct. Like, I mean, they came up like under 21 last year playing those tongue. They're playing senior hurling, premier senior, so if we can match them at under 21, we, you know, it must be something amiss, you know, so hopefully they can keep pushing themselves on.
And 1-6 off the bench, like, you know, it's just great to.
It is,
knowing you can bring in guys that will make a difference when the game's in the
fire. They will make a huge difference, yeah.
The Big Red Bench. Cork. Red FM.
Hello, and you're very welcome after the break here on the Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. And Cork's hopes of TG Cahir All-Ireland Ladies Football Senior Football Championship glory were ended by Dublin following last weekend's quarter-final loss in Parnell Park. The Rebels exited the Senior Camogie Championship having won a National League Division 1 title in their first season back since gaining promotion from Division 2, but failing to catch fire in the Munster and All-Ireland series. So now we have Cork senior manager Joe Carroll, who spoke to the Big Red Bench's Jerry McCarty about a roller coaster season and what's next for the county.
Now, the Cork senior ladies TG Car All-Ireland LGFA Football Championship aspirations were ended at the quarterfinal stage following a 3-11 to 2-13 defeat up in Dublin last weekend. Joining us now on the Big Red Bench for the last time this season and someone who's given us huge time throughout the year is the Cork senior manager, Joe Carroll. Joe, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are you?
Thanks, Joe. Not too bad.
Not too bad, but I can understand if you didn't want to answer that question. Look, let's briefly just talk about that game, because a fantastic performance by your team, racking up 2-13 against a really, you know, an established Dublin team. Couple of defensive lapses. Is the word frustration a few days afterwards still, or have you made peace with it?
Sure, look, I can take a bit of time before we make peace with it. I suppose there's frustration, there's disappointment, there's pride. I suppose in our display in putting on it for 57 minutes, I suppose we were outstanding, better team in the pitch by far, and had great performances. And I think it was just starting to really gel when we just maybe lost a bit of concentration. And after losing concentration, I suppose you pay the price at this level, and unfortunately.
Indeed, but when you look back, and that's what we want to very briefly do, is look back at the season as a whole, Joe. Let's not forget a National League title at the beginning of the year was a fantastic boost for Cork football at senior level, underage level, to see lifting a trophy before you even got to the Munster Championship and the All-Ireland Championship. When you look back on that now, how important was that success for the younger players and the new players on the panel?
Yeah, I think it was massive for everybody involved, whether it be younger or older players or whatever we want to call them, or even the management itself, because we had a lot of work put in from the very start to focus, I suppose, first of all, and retaining our Division 1 status, which we had done fairly reasonably early in the time. And then I suppose the focus came, could we get to the final? And when you got to the final, you wanted to try and win the final, and it was a big boost. I suppose things fell a bit flat in the Munster Championship. I still feel that it was maybe because we have a very, very small gap between the first round of the Munster Championship and the league final is only 2 weeks, and it was very, very short, whereas other teams had a full month to prepare for it. I think maybe in the Munster Championship we showed small little bits of glimpses here and there, but when we came to the All-Ireland Series, I think even though Armagh beat us well in the game at the finish, we showed great football for about 20-25 minutes in the second half, and I think the Waterford game then was a follow-on from that, where we were improving, and you could even see it in training where we had the 3 weeks to try and prepare for Dublin. And I think we showed the best of that when we came to Dublin in the last match.
And it says much about this setup and you, Joe, that like getting to a quarterfinal and losing at a quarterfinal stage is so disappointing, because there's a high bar when it comes to a high performance environment like the Cork Senior Ladies. As you said, it didn't work out in Munster, but I look, when I look back in all the games coming out of the National League, even the games you lost, you were still well in them. And I suppose there was a level of consistency that you wanted to hit, that not having enough of preparation time to allow you to hit that consistency. Is that one of the things you can reflect on now?
Yeah, it is one of the things you can reflect on, Joe, because I suppose, look, if you don't have a lot of your work done very early in the season, which we had fitness-wise and things like that, but we had so much to do that we probably didn't get around to everything. And I think the 3 weeks gap in particular between the league final and between the end of the Munster Championship and the match, the first round of the Championship, was very short. But the 3 weeks gap between the Armagh match and Waterford match and then the Dublin match was been hugely beneficial, and I think we were just starting to gel a bit more than we were, and things were starting to go right in our players and things like that. So look, I suppose it's something you can be built on, and hopefully the girls themselves, I'd say, would probably admit at the start of the year that they were low in confidence and have been for the last 2 years, and just a recurring team all during the year last year. But hopefully they will take confidence that they're now up there with the best, and will take you on the best when they get things right in the day.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Joe. They've now seen it. They've now seen that they can take on the best, and that there's just another step to go, and that they know themselves heading into next year what might be required. And as you said, even though they lost to Dublin, the level is there now for the players that may not have faced that type of quality opposition before in that environment in an All-Ireland quarter-final. There's a target now to be hit. And this team, this panel, is more than capable of kicking on.
Yeah, Joe, looking, I suppose they've seen they've got a bit of a carrot now, and I suppose like it's like giving small child sweets. They want, when they get one, they want two, and they want three. And I suppose in this case, hopefully the girls themselves would be ambitious enough to say, look, 2027 is only around the corner. We have to prepare and do the same thing. But sure, look, every team will be back to square one once the All-Ireland is over and we start all over again. But look, definitely the potential is there, and there's probably a lot of players that were involved in minor teams last year that weren't available to the Cork seniors this year because of exams and leaving cert and so on. So hopefully that will strengthen your squad a bit further. So look, I think the future is bright for Cork ladies football.
It certainly is. Siobhan Callanan, Leah Hallahan, Kate Redmond, Sive McGoldrick as well this year, Grace Murphy, Abby, a lot of young players, Abigail Ring, Rachel O'Regan as well, that came into the panel this year. That must give even more hope. And you see these players, it takes time to develop them at senior level, Joe. Like when they join the panel, sometimes it can take time, and like people don't seem to have a lot of patience for it, unfortunately, on the outside of the dressing room. But yeah. I saw serious steps from those players this year.
Yes, John, most definitely. And with younger players, that is you hit the nail in the head there. It is the word patience. You have to have patience, and they'll have bits of good days and they'll have bits of bad days, and you know they'll get frustrated with themselves. But after a while, when they bid in and get a bit of confidence going and get a bit of a good game under their belt, but you have to have patience because they won't play well all the time. And when they don't play well all the time, you have to be there to support them and things like that. And I think in particular this year, a lot of those players maybe had a tough campaign last year, but they benefited probably from that tough campaign in a way. And I think they grew in stature as the year went on. Like when you see Sive McGoldrick going toe to toe with the likes of Orla Nolan, and when you see Leah Hannan putting in the performance she gave against Dublin last Saturday and so on. Like, and even Rachel O'Regan wasn't involved in the panel last year. She came in this year and she put in tremendous performances all through, and she'll benefit from that as well. And you know, but it takes a bit of time, and you have to give it the time and be patient with it.
Just finally, your 2-year tenure is now up. I know that, I assume you would like to continue the work that you've done since taking over, bringing this county out of Division 2, which is not an easy thing to do, winning a national trophy, blooding all these young players and getting them in, and more young players to come. I assume there's a process that has to be gone through, obviously, from a county board perspective, but this is a job you would like to continue with, Joe.
Look, I suppose it's only days after it, and we're having this conversation. Look, you have to look at everything, and, you know, first of all, I have to see, do the players want me to continue on the management that I had to continue? And then the next thing is the board have to consider it. And look, you need a lot of energy to do it. There's a lot of time consuming, and you have family and you have work and all these things to tie into it. And it becomes all consuming in a way as you go further into the season with video analysis and everything. Look, but I was very, very lucky that I had such a great management with me, and they were taking some of the load. But at the end of the day, I suppose when you're a manager, a lot will come back to you, and as somebody said to me, the book stops at the top. Like, so therefore, look, I haven't really considered it yet. I haven't spoken to any of the players or the board, and been on to me since. So I have to do some thinking about it myself to see, you know, can I fit everything in and give it another go. But look, obviously the carrot is there because the potential is there, I feel, and I've always felt with Cork ladies football, I've been involved in it a long, long time now. And I've always felt that the potential to be as good as the best in the country was there. I suppose it was embedded in Cork, going back to the great Valerie Mulcahy and Breed Stacks, and then to the Welches under great Eamon Ryan. And look, I suppose there's a pride in playing for Cork, and I think that's one thing that we've got back this year, is our respect and our pride. And look, I suppose it's next year everybody will be coming in and respect us and fear us as well, because I don't think up to now that there was any fear of playing Cork. So look, hopefully we'll have a look at it and settle and enjoy the sun for a few days and see what happens.
Well, you deserve it, Joe. You definitely deserve a bit of sun. So look, thanks very, very much once again, and thanks for all your help and your accommodation to Cork Sheriff and Big Red Bench throughout the National League, the Munster Championship, All Ireland Championship. I hope we talk again around winter time, and I hope we get to talk again about Cork senior ladies kicking on in 2027.
Definitely, Joe, and look, a special thanks to you as well for all the coverage you give, and the Big Red Bench and Red FM that give such great coverage during the year. It's fabulous to see, because, you know, we're competing with other sports, and we're competing with men's football and the men's hurling in Cork. Like, it's big, big, big as well. So look, it's great to get the bit of coverage. So huge thanks to you.
You're listening to The Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. And now we're going to move on to Mayo's victory over Louth, which was mad that Louth actually got there. They got all the way to a semi-final. Fair play to them. But now we're going to hear from Andy Morin and Stephen Kuhn speaking after booking a place in the All-Ireland final against Kerry.
Yeah, I suppose looking at Louth against Monaghan, they were absolutely excellent. I remember being at the game, and when they were down to 14, I thought they were in trouble, you know, but they could just kick over Monaghan's press all the time. Monaghan lost a lot of midfielders over the last couple of years, right from Darren Hughes last year retiring, right up to Gary Moen and Carol Gallagher, and they just, Louth just dominated them on the kickouts. So we just thought, we knew McDonald would still win a lot of kickouts. We knew Louth would still win a lot of kickouts, but we just thought we could get to 50-50 there with them, and we did, you know, and it made a big difference.
Obviously, attack is such a huge thing for your team, and you come see them that again, but how are they knitting it together so well? Because there was a number of times, all four, whoever your 11 was, whether it was Conway or Kelly combined with Colby and Vernon and Ryan, you must be so happy with how they're connecting up there.
Yeah, like we struggled at the start of the year. Stephen will tell you, I was probably too kind to the Sigerson a tiny bit, and I was with Keno, and then the under-20s happened with Kobe and Dara, so we never really got them together before the Connacht Championship. So that 5 weeks between Roscommon and the Monaghan game was huge for us. And I remember we played a challenge match, was it Kildare, Stevie? Mm-hmm. We played, and the three boys were just, that was the first time we really seen the connection. So we're hoping it just kind of keeps pushing on from here. I think,
how does that happen?
I think you answered the question with your answer, or you answered the question with your question. They're young. They've a great leader in Ryan up there who's kind of teaching them the way, and but they're talented boys, Tommy, and it's just great to see it. It's great to see the Mayo crowd back in Croke Park supporting the team. That's just the most important thing.
You've played and lost the semi-finals. What do you take from this one? Could be a little different.
Yeah, the whole thing for like in a semi-final, it is for winning. You can dress it up any way you want. Semis are to give yourself a chance to go and win the big prize in any competition, county championships, Connacht championships, and All-Ireland championships. But for us, we'd an aim at the start of the year. Can we get the Mayo crowd back supporting the team? And I think that was answered today, you know.
What about the defence, Andy? I suppose the forward trying to get out of the headlands. Loads of turnovers, loads of aggression. I saw it online by one previous high-profile manager that you can't coach a team to defend, or Paddy Tallyhand.
Yeah, thanks. I try to keep away from the e-books online, Willie. I feel we've really, really, really good one-to-one defenders who are absolutely addicted to playing football, and they just want to learn. And does that sometimes take time? And does it sometimes take a bit of energy and months and training? Of course it does. And but we're not the finished article. Let's be honest here. When the likes of Young McGrail and these boys can play 55 minutes and 19 years of age in Croke Park, it makes a big difference. But I think, again, I mentioned Ryan up front, the likes of Hessian and the likes of Dunican, Jack Coyne and Mac Bryan at the back are just, they're great leaders to have around the place.
Andy, does Kobe McDonald bring something different to Mayo
Yeah, I suppose I was very close to the last one. Oisín is a tiny bit different in terms of Oisín Mullen. He's a defender, and he'd take you out of the game, and he's that burst going forward. But the two that I've seen like that are Pearce Hanley and Kobe. And yeah, of course they do, to be honest with you. They're like, let's be honest, they're generational talents. You see, you're going to watch a guy tomorrow, Kieran Kilkenny, playing for Dublin, who did a little, went over for a month or two and came back, and a couple of months later he played against us in 2012 in an All-Ireland semi-final. You know, of course these boys bring something different. They're just, the Aussies aren't after them because they're average players. They're after them because they're the best.
Tommy mentioned freedom, but no one typifies that freedom with Mayo, maybe more than him.
No, I don't think so. He went through on goal in the last minute against Cork. I was trying to tell him to hit it over the bar, but there was no chance. So he's just his own guy. Stevie will tell you there, you wouldn't even know he's around the place till he puts on the pink boots and starts playing a bit of football. You know, you wouldn't. I swear to God, he's quiet, isn't he, Steve? He's just quite humble young man, and he plays with that kind of 18-year-old freedom.
Yeah,
yeah, we've a few of them. We've a few of them in terms of like Owen would have the same sort of, I suppose, quietness, but when he plays differently. He play a bit like Keith Higgins and these guys. So when these guys come along, they absolutely elevate everyone around the place. Yeah.
And in terms of the build up, do you think the county will go crazy again, or do you think they'll be worse?
Nah, see, like, you laugh at that, lads. I don't laugh at that. I find it very actually dismissed, but I think it's a disrespectful question. Our county have been starved the last 4 or 5 years. If they go a bit nuts, let them. You're going to go to a game tomorrow. Every single one of you are going to write the Kerry or Dublin are going to win the All-Ireland Final. Right? Right? Does anyone here think we're going to win the All-Ireland Final? No, thank you. So that question is nonsense. If the boy, if our supporters want to enjoy it, let them enjoy it.
Have you come across 2-1-0 at the start of the second half? You're at 7-7. This result really sort of stages for Rovers. What's the clues of that?
Yeah, I thought Sam and Bob, we identified, I suppose, that Loud were going to close up that middle like to do so well. And we knew there was going to be second balls there in terms of if we go in there, and you have to go in there to try to get your goals. But if you're in there on your second ball, I thought Sam and Bob, I thought that Hessian just kept coming out with the ball every single time, and it just gave us that platform. I think we got 1 or 2 points after that, you know.
And before today, you only had 3 goals in the championship, you've doubled that. You've won off two. Like, is there anything you worked on specifically in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, so as the weeks go on, I remember being in Oma and coming out of Oma and thinking, lads, the boys are beginning to click. They're beginning to... I know we came out of Oma and we talked about it. It was just one of those games where we were so close to winning, but you could see that there was huge progression happening. And you were just kind of praying then that it didn't end the week after. So we've just kind of worked on different stuff every week, Anthony, depending on the opposition. And, you know, today we did work on it, if I'm being honest, and it's something that paid off.
As Stephen, obviously, as I said, the fans are going to go all crazy for this couple of weeks, but it's not your first time in the build-up to an Ireland final. How far is your role with guys like Rod, Dara, and Bobby, who are using this experience in terms of, you know, making sure they're staying focused and building the final?
Yeah, I suppose one thing Andy mentioned is you wouldn't notice the guys around the place because very composed young men, no egos, no distractions, very focused. They'll be the fellas telling us to do a recovery session tomorrow morning, focus on 2 weeks' time, get on huddle, review the games today. So I don't think we'll have any problem. They're very happy with the culture of the group. Of course, I'll try and give guidance and learnings from the past, but these guys have their own way of doing things as well, so just support them as much as possible and keep going.
Stephen, you've been around for 2 years ago.
Too many.
Last you say
I don't think we would have entered the competition if we didn't think we could be here. 16 teams, Division 1, Division 2, so there's no difference between anyone, but you'd have to go and do it. And now, over the next 2 weeks, we have to go and do that. So, yeah, we're happy we're in this position. I'd say we've just grown as a team. We fight for each other, back each other up, cover, defend, play the ball into space for guys who have speed and talent. And we're always supporting each other. So I think we've just been very connected over the last 7 or 8 weeks. And long may that continue.
Well, Joe, I think probably every team has a personality, and like we're trying to get that back into us. It's there's no point having forwards like Keane McHale there, misses a 13-yarder, and I think he dummies your man the next one, he kicks it over the bar. So there's no point having that sort of forward if you're not going to give them the freedom to go and kick. So there is freedom there, but they know that themselves. And like, in fairness to the young fellas, they're very good at asking questions and very good at knowing their kind of role within the group. And yeah, I just like the likes of Stevie was a bit dismissive there of himself. These guys have a huge role. We knew today coming into it, we had the experience in the room that have played in All-Ireland semi-finals, the Stevies, the Aidens, these guys, Jermids, and they really helped the guys moving into that. And it just, again, just explaining what Morris is saying, do they have the freedom? These guys are giving them the freedom to make a mistake and to not be effed out of it, to say, okay, listen, we know you've got a good talent, you've a unique talent, go and use it, you know?
You're listening to The Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary, and then we're going to move on to a bit of hurling. And now, unfortunately, it's not Cork, but we will be back again next year. We're going to hear from Galway hurler Padraic Mannion speaking to Jonathan Higgins at the Galway Media Day pre-All-Ireland hurling final.
Padraic, when we last spoke, it was just in the doldrums of Croke Park. You were after that fantastic victory over Cork. How's all been in the camp since?
Yeah, great. The energy is really good. Very satisfying to get through that. I think with a 2 week turnaround, we turned our focus fairly quickly forward. So, yeah, look, everyone was delighted with it, but we've another job to do, hopefully, now.
That's the thing, isn't it, really? As special as those moments are, the way with the split season at the moment, the next one comes around pretty quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think as a player, though, you're kind of nearly programmed that way anyway. So, once Monday came again, we were do you start looking forward to getting back into training and just really looking forward to it, and it's great to be preparing for a big game.
Yeah, and as well as that, it's a nice couple of weeks in camp and everything that comes with that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. But like, you know, what a position to be in. It's only two teams left and we're one of them, so a lot of people don't even get to play in an All-Ireland final. So we're delighted to be still there and have an opportunity.
I suppose a common theme of the conversations, particularly from a Galway perspective, is Galway players, management, supporters got so used to being at the top table there. There was finals, semi-finals, finals, etc. Think back to those games with Tip and everything that comes with that. You almost quite take them for granted, for want of a better choice of phrase, but does it, on that, and maybe flip it, extra more special the fact that it's been a gap and now you're back?
Yeah, probably. I think when you're a bit younger as well, you're probably naive and you maybe think that this is going to happen all the time, but it doesn't. Not too many teams can have a prolonged success like that. But yeah, like, you definitely appreciate these days, these weeks now, even going to train and still there preparing for it. And you have the experience of, like, with all that, you just know it's another game. You don't have to do anything special, just do what got you here and really focus on the performance. With all the stuff that's going on outside, you don't really need to get caught up in that. But yeah, it's great opportunity to be, and just very enjoyable to be still there.
There's a lot of enough training, turning through the muck and gutter and all that to be there in the more firmer turf now.
Exactly. Think back to, this is where we start our training in November, December. It doesn't always be as nice as today, you know, with the rain and the wind. But yeah, thinking about the championship games and that is what gets you out of the car, and then wet evenings. But yeah, look, it's great when you have the hard work done and you're still there preparing for a game like this. It's fairly satisfaying.
Yeah, it's even funny just when we're waiting, looking around to see the pitches, see the gym here. Blood, sweat and tears, no doubt, here. But this is what it's all about, the 19th of July now.
Yeah, pitches are a bit greener than they do be in November, December. But yeah, this is what it's all about. This is what you play for as a player. When you're aspiring to be intercounty hurler, these are the days of you dream of being involved in. So yeah, it's a great opportunity for us to be still there.
No, I won't make the mistake of one of the print guys downstairs about bringing up maybe a negative memory from Croke Park, but let's go the opposite way around. We talked about that in terms of the finals in 17, which you won, defeat into your opponents now, Limerick, in 18. Then a little bit of a journey away from the top table. Does the fact that then maybe that combined with the fact that from the outside, this is probably a little bit further down the line than you potentially could have been with the transition and everything this year. Does that, and you're going on a year as well and everything goes with that, do you have to enjoy these a bit more, embrace these a bit more then?
I think as you get a bit older, yeah, you learn to enjoy it. Like, it's not always easy to enjoy. Sometimes you get caught up in a bit of pressure, but you just have to remind yourself, like, how lucky we are, how lucky I am to be involved with a group like this. It's so enjoyable to be in a group that you enjoy being with everyone. And as I said already, like, we've had a few overnight stays in that this year, and it's just everybody loves being together, and it's so enjoyable you nearly don't want to leave at the end of it. But no, it's great, and I'm really lucky to be involved in it, as I said, and just really enjoying it. Yeah.
Obviously, without going to the high performance route, sometimes is it almost the relief of not losing as opposed to the goodness of winning, if you know what I mean, when you're in that bubble?
Yeah, probably sometimes the fear of losing can drive you as much as the want to win. But like, you don't really, you're kind of looking, like, in these big games, you don't really focus on that either. It's what's the job you can do, like, because if you lose focus of that, the players you're going to be marking and that, they'll really punish you. So you have to be really on your guard and what's your job, what can we do better, how can we get better, and that's what we've been doing every game. And like, it'll actually be the same. I know people mightn't want me to hear me saying that, but it'll be the same for the next game. It's, can we get a bit better? What can we recover the bodies and just treat it like another game, really, even though we know, like, on the outside there'll be a lot more going on.
The risk of sounding all cliche, but it is the small margins. Al Pacino, a game of inches. Yeah. Probably saw that with Clare then as well. They touched on speaking to your brother Carl there as well a little bit earlier. They gave it one hell of a battle, and then just that's the last couple of moments, it just slipped away.
Yeah, sure. Limerick are, like, they've shown us time and time again that they'll play right up until the final whistle, and they're never gone. But I think we've probably shown the same as well this year. We've been in fairly deep holes, and we've got ourselves out of them by just sticking to the plan. And like, as you said, the margins between teams at this level are really, really small.
The record since that 18 final against Limerick in the championship, there's been some close games, but you haven't got over the line against them since.
Yes, they're really, really good. We've played them in league games, championship games. It's always a ding-dong battle. And as a player, like, you want to play against the best. So look, at this stage, anyone you're coming up against in All Ireland final is going to be a serious outfit. And look, we know there's a huge challenge there, but if you can't look forward to that, there's no point being involved.
A lot of talk about the game plan then as well, and look, it is the risk of stating the obvious. The, even from looking down in level 7 at you guys, it has changed a lot from this time last year. How has that been to play in?
Yeah, I think like there's obviously a bit of a tweak in game plan, but the probably overriding thing is if you don't, like, you have to bring the energy, bring the aggression, bring the work. If you don't bring that, it doesn't really matter what game plan you have. And I think that's probably been our number one in all the games, that if you bring that, you'll always have a chance. And I think that'll be hugely important as well the next day.
I think we see in both Gaelic games at the moment, between Gaelic football and hurling as well, opposition puck out slash kick out, they're so, so important. Even your own as well, both sides of that fence. You did so well on the Cork puck out in the semi-final, but we know how good Limerick are with Licky Quaid as well, so that's going to be a fascinating dynamic to the whole proceedings as well, isn't it?
Yeah, like Licky Quaid is he can land the ball wherever they need it, but if you look at it, as I said, it's a huge challenge for us to do. We'll have our homework done, we'll do what we can, but I think the football is probably more of a, the kickouts are huge in that because it's so hard to get the ball back, whereas hurling so quick and things happen so fast that turnovers happen all the time as well. But yeah, puckouts are huge. Like, but look, it's up to us to prepare for that. Do what we can. They're obviously, you can't be perfect on it. It's not a game of being perfect either. But you know, if a team gets a run on you, it's how can you stay in the game? Can you manage it? Can you stick to your plan or stick to what you're doing? Keep doing your job, and hopefully that the momentum will swing for you again.
There's a line with your former teammate James Gale on the hurling pod when he's talking about Limerick and that utter war zone out that middle. It will be a big say on who can get that midfield battle. There'll be a lot of bodies around there, no doubt.
Now, so that's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench, myself, Orla O'Leary. An absolute jam-packed show, of course, completely full of GAA. Thank God we are a county for the GA anyway, that's all I have to say. But lots happened in the World Cup as well. The semi-finals are put in place with Tuesday and Wednesday at 8 p.m, with the finals then next weekend. So I will catch you soon. Coming up next, we have Mags Blackburn with Green on Red.
The Big Red Bench.
Big Red Bench.
On Cork's
Red FM.
Red